Our first scripture reading this morning is from Hosea 11, 1 through 11. Reversal of the Exodus, return to Egypt and exile in Assyria. When Israel was a young man, I loved him like a son. I summoned my son out of Egypt. But the more I summoned them, the farther they departed from me. They sacrificed to Baal idols and burn incense to images. Yet it was I who led Ephraim. I took them by the arm, but they did not acknowledge that I had healed them. I drew them with the leather cords with straps of hide. I lifted the yoke from their neck and gently fed them. They will return to Egypt. Asher will rule over them because they refuse to repent. A sword will flash in their cities. It will destroy the bars of their city gates and will devour them in their fortress. My people are obsessed with turning away from me. They call to Baal, but he will never exalt them. Divine dilemma, judgment or mercy. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zibeon? I had a change of heart. All my tender compassions are aroused. I cannot carry out my fierce anger. I cannot totally destroy Ephraim, because I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. God will restore the exiles to Israel. He will roar like a lion, and they will follow the Lord when he roars. His children will come trembling from the west. They will return in fear, trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria, and I will settle them in their home, declares the Lord. Our second reading is from Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Then someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbiter between you two?" Then he said to them, "Watch out and guard yourself from all types of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He then told them in a parable, "The land of a certain rich man produced an abundant crop." So he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my bins and build bigger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of goods stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, celebrate.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded back from you, but who will get what you have prepared to yourself?' So it is with the one who stores up riches for himself, but is not rich toward God." May God bless the words of our hearts and minds, for these are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, you made us, you know us, you breathed life into us. Be with us this day and every day, and encourage us to live together in your word. Amen. In this morning's reading from Hosea, we heard Jean read the words of the prophet who was reminding us of the covenantal relationship that we share with God. Hosea lived a difficult life. And in the telling of his life, we hear about all the challenges that a life can have. But he never mistreated anyone in his life. He just strived to incorporate the teachings that are given to us by God. And from the gospel writer of Luke, Jean read the parable of the rich landowner, and the message is pretty clear. You should strive to collect riches for God, not to store them up for yourself. Because as we've heard, I think I've heard this since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. You can't take those earthly possessions with you. So provide for what you can provide for. Help where you can help. Do good work. Live a godly life while you're here on earth and have the resources to do it. Hold yourself accountable to that. Reconcile with others without condition. The third reading today was Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Since you have raised up a new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died in this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, the whole world will share in all his glory. So remember to make the ways and things of heaven the ways of earth. Only believers can do that. We should not wait for our judgment time to repent and treat others around us with love and justice, but do it now. Do it now. And then you can arrive on that day with your pockets full of goodness and mercy. Jeannie Alexander, the director of No Exceptions, shares these thoughts. When we dream of a reconciled world, we may mistakenly think of returning to the garden, as if the history of the world will be erased. But it's not the blueprint of reconciliation. Reconciliation does not propose a clean slate. It proposes a justified one. Reconciliation comes with persistence. That doesn't mean belligerence. It's an unwavering dedication to the new path of righteousness. You know, oftentimes people aren't ready to receive an apology or participate in a process of reconciliation. They're hurt and they need time to heal. And only with the constant display of new understanding can they risk accepting that new relationship. So when we look for reconciliation with others, we can become easily discouraged. Our world is tumbling through ecological collapse while we labor, while we look for hope amid broken families, while we strive for justice under difficult treatment. Sometimes reconciliation seems hopeless, but if we dare to walk this path, we'll find that Jesus has cleared it and walked ahead of us. The requests that we make for bread and forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Prayer is not merely a metaphorical request. It illustrates the difference between life and death. In today's gospel writing, we are reminded by Jesus that we must press on steadfast and unwavering. We must dedicate ourselves to justice, to mercy, and love. When we pay for the earth to be as it is in heaven, or for our debts to be forgiven, or our sins to be forgiven, we're not reciting a line that requires nothing from us. We're committing our entire lives to God's work. You dedicated yourselves earlier. And as you do that work of God each day, the Spirit will lurk right alongside you. When you're seeking a new world, you'll find it in the most unlikely places. It's not just something we say. It is the renewal of our covenantal relationship with God. Let us pray. Creator of all light and life and justice and a way forward, give us bread for today and strength to create systems that forgive sins and debts and trespasses so that our children might be fed tomorrow. Amen.